Welcome back, Oncers, to AfterBuzz TV's Once Upon a Time After Show. We're talking Season 6, Episode 15, A Wondrous Place. So stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
I'm sorry everyone is like cursed with listening to me sing today. In case you didn't get it, that was me singing from like Aladdin, A Wondrous Place.
I got it.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Thank you, Marissa. Yeah, oh, my gosh. Yeah. Guys, you're flattering to me too much. Don't stop.
It was beautiful.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tiana Hobson, your host tonight. And joining me, as always, I've got the Professor Serafini sitting next to me tonight.
What's up, everyone? I'm Marissa Serafini. You can follow me on Twitter at Serafini TV.
I feel smarter already just with her knowledge, like exuding out of her. And on the other side of the table, we've got Dakota T. Jones.
What is up, guys? You can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube at Mr. Dakota T. Jones.
And we've got a new face sitting over there next to Dakota, everyone. Please welcome Ali Nesta.
Hi, guys. I'm so excited to be here. You can find me on Twitter at Ali Nesta and on Instagram at Ali Girl.
And, I mean, guys, not one new face, but, I mean, she's not a new face either, but we've got a very special guest Skyping in with us, Karen David, a.k.a. Princess Jasmine.
Hello.
Hi, Karen.
Yay.
I love seeing you guys.
Oh, we love having you. This is so much fun. Thank you for coming back, too.
Oh, I was so gutted I couldn't be with you guys in the studio, but I'm filming the finale in Vancouver, so I'm live from Vancouver.
That's amazing.
So like, what happens in the finale? No.
Well, yeah.
It was worth a shot.
Yeah, worth a shot.
If I ever hope of dreaming of being able to come back in season 7, I if there is one, then I got to keep my mouth shut.
Yeah. I guess you probably should.
Yeah. Well, tonight's episode, it was a big return for Jasmine and Aladdin, and we finally get some answers and finally get a kiss.
Yes!
Oh my gosh!
Right, it took them long enough, but in all fairness, you know, Aladdin was really pushing for it right at the start of the ep, and Jasmine she's just too stressed, you know, and it's very hard to be romantic when you've got you know, so many millions of people's lives at stake and all that, but now we know why.
Right. You can't like let loose and become romantic if you got a whole city trapped in your ring. I mean, princess problems.
Yeah. I took that ring and I was showing pictures, texting my husband saying, you know, this ring is really nice. Than my ring. So, you know, maybe we should just go up a notch a little bit. He said, "We'll just keep that ring."
So, did you take the ring from Zet? Is that what you're telling us? You're going to take it home?
I'm on set tomorrow. I'm going to sneak in and
All right.
Okay. And then bring it to studio so I can try and take it from you.
Right.
Yeah, that's like our thing.
It's the jewel and the carpet thing. You did that with the Jewel of Valencia, then the magic carpet.
Mm-hmm. Now,
Now.
Yeah,
yes, exactly.
The crown jewel of Agrabah.
Jewel thief.
I mean, guys, I like shiny things. What girl doesn't? Okay, so getting into a little bit of the adventure that happens, I love seeing these flashbacks of Jasmine and how she meets Ariel in Agrabah back in the day. And I think what I love most is that everyone else already knew Ariel, and we know how they know Ariel.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But then you find out that Ariel and Jasmine have a connection, too, and it's like, a fish in the middle of the desert.
Right?
How did these two become friends?
I know.
I love the irony in it.
Yeah.
I think personally...
Sorry, love. Go ahead.
No. I was saying it. Personally, I had to do some spins. I was like, wait a second. Where are we in the storyline? Did I miss something? Then I was like, oh, no, I get it. It's before she had gone to Storybrooke. So then I had to, like, retract that in my brain.
Yeah.
It was definitely interesting.
It was so excited when we got the script. I had no idea that was all to come. And I was like this little girl reading the script and just getting, like, squealing, like, because it's everything on my childhood bucket list. Like, when I was, like, 5 years old, okay, hang out with Ariel. Potato, potato. Ariel. Hang out with Ariel. And then ride a magic carpet. And then I got to do both with Ariel.
I know.
That's now, crazy.
Joanna and I, when we were filming those scenes on the magic carpet, we were like two little girls, and we could not stop laughing the whole time because we were just like, oh my God, oh my God, we're on a magic carpet. And it was actually, I'm going to post some pictures up on social media. And we were on this electronic sort of mat. And it was so cool because it was like being on an amusement park ride.
Yes.
And, like, tipping us over like this. And going,
so it was amazing.
So much fun. I didn't want to get off. It was so much fun. I just wanted to stay.
I know, it's like you need one of those in your living room.
Oh my God, can you imagine?
Oh my God.
That would be so great. I'd never come off it.
I'd sleep on it.
It looks fun.
It'd be like the best type of waterbed.
Definitely.
Oh my gosh. So basically, the reason these two have teamed up is because Jafar has given Jasmine basically an ultimatum. Either, you know, she's trying to find a husband with a prince with an army or a navy, in Eric's case, or she has to marry Jafar by sundown.
Yeah.
And things are not looking good for her. This is when she runs into Ariel. And finds out about Eric, and ooh, his navy could be helpful. But after their magic carpet ride to get there, I was super bummed to find out that Eric was actually Jafar in disguise.
I know, yeah, and when he said that line where he's like, I was bored with regular girls.
I was like, oh, what? Rude.
We all were like, oh.
I'm like, huh? What?
I know.
Like, is that a compliment? Should I be thanking you that you want me because you were bored with the regular girls? Like, I don't know.
I thought it was a new way that princes woo princesses.
I guess.
You know, and then all of a sudden Jafar appears, and I was like, oh, you again?
Right?
Yeah, again.
But I love Jasmine, especially, like, how you portrayed your character in this episode, because you, like, really stood up to Jafar. Yeah. I mean, at first you were, like, afraid and stuff, but, like, your character
was petrified?
Was petrified.
At first
and
was
she
petrified.
Came around and, like, it overcame her fear and, like, really stood up to him, and I thought that was great. What's it like playing opposite of Oded Fehr? He's great.
Oh, isn't he a dream? Like, he's so dreamy.
yes, he is.
No, really. Oded is such a pro. I mean, I was a huge fan even before he came onto the show, and, he's so lovely and so much fun to work with that it's so, for such a lovely person, you know, he can place evil so well too. It was so much joy. And I think, you know, Jasmine having the confidence and very much came to life, you know, with Hook and Ariel and Aladdin. The three of them, they've all got her back. And I think she felt, well, she definitely felt stronger and more confident to really take herself in very uncomfortable places and put herself in a very vulnerable place, especially with Jafar. Because I think sometimes when we're faced with such huge adversity and such huge challenges, there's nothing you can do, and it all seems hopeless. That's sort of like when you hit that wall is when the miracle can happen, where, you know, out of necessity, out of, you know, survival in this case, not only for herself and for the people that she cares about in her kingdom, I think she just had to just say enough now. I think she reached a point where she was just so fed up, and it was just, she had enough, and she had to, you know, she says to Jafar, you've taken everything away from me. What more can you do now to me? Mm-hmm. And I think that's when she completely surrendered, trusting herself that, you know, she will do everything that she can. So it was a very brave move. It thankfully paid off.
Yes, definitely. I know. The moment whenever you were like, all right, at least you three have got my back, and then he just like snaps his fingers and everyone falls asleep, I was like, oh, that didn't go as planned.
Yeah. They snapped and they fell asleep, and you know, the guys were like relaxing on the bed whilst it was just fun.
I know.
It is one thing he kept doing to you, though, because even in the flashback with Ariel, you know, Ariel's like, we can do this together, and then he comes out and snaps and puts her back in the sea, so Jafar's knew that having you around people would, you know, be a weakness or would be bad for him, mm-hmm. basically.
Yeah, and that ultimate sacrifice that she does make, that was, I mean, I could feel that moment right when we were, you know, acting with Jafar, Oded and I, and, you know, where she has to decide, whether to let go of all hope of love that she had for Aladdin, mm-hmm. and taking that step forward to say, okay, Jafar, I'll marry you. Mm-hmm. So that's the guilt that has been ridden in her mind, and she's had to carry that throughout her journey, which was very hard for her to explain to Aladdin in the fears that she might lose him for good. So.
Yeah, I think something too we were talking about is like the communication with Aladdin, and we were like, oh my gosh, just say you like each other, because they both, I didn't even realize it until this episode, but they both said how they feel to all the other members, like cast members, but they didn't say it to each other, and so this episode you were kind of like on the edge of the carpet waiting for them waiting for them to just finally say it, and I feel like it was so exciting after this scene for all this dramatic stuff to happen, and then I thought she kind of had it planned out the whole time too, when she was like gonna throw the potion. I don't know, did you guys think that it was planned out in your, like, when you were reading it, did you think that she had it planned that she was gonna throw it on him at the end, or it was just kind of sporadic?
Yeah, so she knew that she had to come up with a very, you know, quick thinking on the spot, and she had that bottle with the red, we like to call it red fairy pixie dust, or whatever the
because it was
magic stuff. And so she knew that she could use that as a distraction. And if you notice, Jasmine had her hand in her pocket.
Oh.
So even though she used one hand to throw the vial at him, she had a bunch of it in her hand.
Oh.
And if you notice in that scene, my hand was in my pocket. So she was just waiting, and she knew that he'd be like, ah, oh, ha, 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 it didn't work. And so she was watching when he was coming closer. And then she was just trying to time it so she could get it right into his beautiful face.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because when she threw the bottle and it didn't break, I was like, I was like, what the heck, Jasmine? What a waste.
Really, Jasmine? Really?
Really? Come on.
I was like,
you're
girl, you didn't think to take the cork off? Like, come on.
Seriously. You throw it a little harder. I don't know.
I was thinking, too, the glass. I'm like, that's pretty hefty glass, but not to break.
Well, I know, but when you think about it, when you throw a water balloon at someone, sometimes it doesn't actually pop. So it's like, glass bottle's not going to just break if it hits his robe.
I love that Dakota's example was a water balloon.
Waterbed, water balloon.
No. You got a thing with water tonight. Yeah. You got a theme
it's
going.
Because Ariel's here.
It's all weird.
You should have thrown a water balloon.
Yeah. You should have filled with the red fairy pixie dust stuff.
But then she was afraid that it wouldn't actually go. If she threw it at his feet, it might not come rise high enough because it's quite tall. So she had to get a good, you know, she had to come close enough to him where she could have a good aim at his face. So that's why she had. When you look back, you'll see, and she's, you know, she's got her hand in her pocket, and as he gets,
like, I remember the hand in the pocket, and I just thought you were like cool and casual. You don't scare me, Jafar. I've got my hand in my pocket.
I know.
Asking inside.
Yes. See, guys, there's more to just acting out things and saying lines. There's like physical acting going on too here.
Physical and subliminal. Like she's figuring all this out in her mind as it's playing out.
It can't be that easy. It's got to be, you know, a bit more tricky.
Yes.
It would be fun if it was too easy.
Yes, exactly. So, I mean, Jasmine, clearly she defeats Jafar in regular time and gets Agrabah back out of the ring with true love's kiss.
Love
just is everything. And I'm so happy these two, because like Allie said, it was like a junior high school or elementary school relationship going on right now, where it's like, ew, I don't like you. I like her. Like whispering cooties. Oh no. And so for them to finally be able to come together in that moment, I was like, yes, this is what we've been waiting for. Aladdin and Jasmine belong together.
Yes.
I know.
And he's not a genie anymore. So that's even better.
Freedom. Yes.
It was the happy ending that, I was really happy. And I, when they kissed, I could feel, I could actually hear all the fans just kind of saying, finally they did. And it was really nice how then we start to see bits of Agrabah slowly appearing. And it was a lovely montage. It was really nice.
And I bet that's a wonderful thing for you to see, because you're used to filming all this in front of a green screen. And then being able to see it played out on TV and see all of that, those things appearing, and see the beautiful city behind you, you're like, yes, this is exactly what was meant to happen when we were filming.
Yeah. I mean, I wish when every time I kiss my husband, that would happen.
Right.
Don't it was like all. Magical. It's so Disney. It was just like it was the perfect kiss. Mm-hmm. And it was so wonderful and magical. And yeah, I mean, when we're filming, they do take us behind the screen to give us an idea of what it might look like, which is really helpful, mm-hmm. especially so we know we're our place, you know, so we don't stand more like above the line, otherwise you'd be technically falling off the balcony. So they map it out with masking tape on the floor, so you know where you're going to be, and then they take you to the monitors just to get an idea of stuff. But it was really exciting. I'm always like nervous and excited. I hate watching myself. I'm one of those actors that I'm literally like this. And so the first or second viewings, I can never quite relax because I'm like looking just to make sure that everything's good and that I'm doing everything correctly and all that. But they did such a phenomenal job, I feel, and working with the cast and the crew and everything on this show, especially now as we're drawing to the end of season 6 now, filming wise, it's just been, it literally has been a magical adventure. And certainly this episode, Jane and Jerome, who wrote this wonderful episode, it ticked off everything I wanted on my childhood bucket list. You know? So, and I told them that, and I'm so grateful for that, because it just doesn't get any better than this episode, as far as for me, with being able to go on a journey with Hook and be with Joanna Garcia Swisher, who plays Ariel so beautifully. She's so fun to work with, and then with Dennis and Colin and all that. We had a lot of fun, and I really enjoyed the scenes with Jasmine and Hook.
Yes. spent a yes, lot of time
I,
to call
yeah, I have
this
some
episode.
Questions about the Jasmine and Hook stuff, because a lot of fans have been tweeting me saying, you know, like, you guys post a lot of pictures and you guys are very active on social media, and I think the fans are loving your interactions, and I think they have a ship name for you guys.
Oh my.
Right? Yeah, it's like hashtag Kaylin.
That's so cute.
Something hashtag yeah. Colin or something.
Yeah, exactly.
And I love teasing. I was going to say Carlin. I love teasing Carlin. Maybe I should call him that now. He just I love teasing Colin all the time. We have so much fun on set. Like, and I'm the worst corpser on set. Like, it's very difficult for me to keep a straight face when they're, you know, goofing around and when the camera's on me. And I'm like, you guys, stop. You're going to make me laugh. And so I always love teasing Colin. So I hope that kind of transpires with their sort of friendship goals on the show. But was it too happy with Jasmine? beginning, you know, and quite understandably, because he really wants to get back to Emma. That, and so yeah, he wasn't quite happy. So, but it was nice when they were sitting on the sofa. In do you call it a sofa? I don't know. What do you call a medieval?
the chase,
whatever. In the submarine, it was really nice when they were sort of, you know, bonding over being heartsick and heartbroken and all that. So that was a nice moment for them.
I did really like that moment, and everyone knows, you know, I'm a big Hook fan. Mm-hmm. Hashtag Hooker for life. And so, you know, seeing him be vulnerable like that with Jasmine and really open up, even when he's going in the middle of his crisis of his own, of, you know, needing to get back to Emma and that mm-hmm. being the main concern that he has for most of the episode. I love that he was able to sit down and really hear it. And then I also loved when Aladdin comes in and starts having like a similar conversation. He's like, dude, I'm not the middleman between you two. Get your stuff together.
I know. He's like, did she say anything about me?
Yeah. That's so funny. I think Colin might have missed his other true calling as well then.
Yeah. Exactly. And I think what I love about all of this story, especially with the Jasmine and Aladdin stuff, is that they do get their happy ending by, you know, finally getting the kiss and getting Agrabah back. Mm-hmm. But it's also not the end of their journey with us mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. on this show. It's kind of the beginning, because a lot of stories, you know, once we wrap up, like Cinderella, you know, it's like, oh, she finally got her happy ending, and yeah. then, you know, we never saw her again. But I'm happy that we're keeping Aladdin and Jasmine around in the fold still.
Definitely. Yeah.
It's going to be a lot of fun. A fun journey with them.
I know,
them.
Especially oh, for sure. being one of, like, literally my favorite movies of all time. Like, these are the characters that I want around. Yeah. And the fact that we get them and everything's working out so far, I mean, yeah. as of this episode, it's looking good.
Yeah. The only thing that worries... Oh, sorry.
No, no, okay. Feel free. I love you guys for saying all this, and feel free to let the gang know.
Yes, I will. Adam and Eddie, listen to us. Keep them around.
Keep them around.
No, what I do love about Once Upon a Time is that anything is possible. I mean, right when you think they've got a happy ending, boom, something happens. Mm-hmm. Or right when you think it's the end of ends and there's no tomorrow for a certain character or whatnot, all of a sudden they get a happy ending in some ways, you know? So, I mean, it keeps us on our toes and it certainly keeps us coming back for more. So they purposely do that, I think. They make it so addictive that you know, you want to know what's going to happen next. So
they're also really good about putting in little Easter eggs for us, because I have to say, I mean, Allie can attest to this. I freaked out on Hangman's Island when they found Ariel's house hut thing. Right? And they're like, who needs 20 wine openers? Like, it's Ariel! It's Ariel! It's her gizmos and gadgets aplenty! Like, I got so excited about that. Dakota didn't get it.
I don't understand what's happening.
I do want to point out that I was the one who paused and rewinded to show that big stuffed Raj.
The Raja tiger.
Yeah.
Stuffed animal. That little Easter egg. So I will take credit for that one.
So you've got the Aladdin and Jasmine stuff. We've got the area of Little Mermaid stuff over here. Yeah. I think that was fun, especially for the fans.
Yeah. No, that's makes it so nice because they're so thoughtful to put those subtle, you know, subtleties in there that are a throwback to the movies. So it was wonderful. I must admit, we were filming all the outdoor scenes. We were filming and it was quite cold outside in Vancouver. It was, and that's not normal, I'm told, you know, that they had quite a cold winter here. And so I was wearing I was like the Michelin man underneath. Because it was really cold. And I got to tell you, Dennis was wearing electrical pants. I loved it. He had this like long johns and they, you could heat them up. And it was so funny because he was wearing those thin genie pants. So he had these electrical long johns underneath. And Colin was like, that's not fair. He can wear electrical long johns. And what about me? And we're like, well, you can't fit it in your fancy pants. You know, his jeans are really fitted, like his skinny jeans. So you can't really wear them underneath. So poor Colin was quite cold. Warm and toasty with his, electrical sort of long johns. I think that's really cool, isn't it?
Yeah. I've never heard of that. They really need to help Colin out and get him some electrical skinny jeans.
Include stockings. He needs to wear those, you know. Yeah. I'm going to tease him about this.
So you said it was really cold filming this episode. How long ago did you film this episode?
So this was back in January. I flew straight from celebrating the holidays with family in London and Sweden. And I flew on New Year's Day back to Vancouver, and it was straight in. So it was like a combination of fighting jet lag. But as soon as we were filming outside, especially those evening scenes, the night scenes with Farhan and Nick and Colin and Dennis, we were all outside. You know, Colin Hook is saying bye to his brother Liam and Captain Nemo. So that was a long day because we did all the outdoor scenes that one day. So it was like a really early start to late into the morning of the next day. And it was cold. It was really, really cold.
Ooh, and all I can think of is, woo, it got down to like 60 in LA last week. And I was like, oh my gosh, I need electrical long johns right now.
Just wait, parts of my body that no part of your body should be freezing were freezing. Let's put it that way. It was that cold.
Whoa.
I believe it.
It was everyone was, you could just feel the cold all over. And so literally I came back, I think it must have been 3 or 4 in the morning, and I literally crawled into the tub. I have a hot, you know, nice hot bath, and because that damp and that cold just seeps through. And but it was worth it. I mean, looking at it, it just looked amazing. It's so beautiful, the locations that they have here outside of Vancouver City proper. I mean, it was just so lovely, and it's worth it, you know. And seeing tonight's final result, I think our director Steve Perlman did a fantastic job, and I'm just so chuffed, and I'm really happy that you guys enjoyed it too.
Yeah. And I'm glad that you brought up Liam, because I always feel bad that Hook and Liam never get that much time together. It's always so quick, and I wanted them to have, you know, like, more time as brothers to, you know, like, live life and be happy and be brothers. Like, I mean, will Liam get to get off the ship to come to the wedding if it happens? Like, will you be the best man? I don't know. I want these brothers to get back together.
That's so true. They're always in, like, a fight or fight or flight mode. You know, it's like they have, like, 5 minutes to figure out what's going to happen next, and then he's just leaving to go off to another adventure.
I know. At least we got a nice hug, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, it's been nice to see, like, Regina and Zelina's relationship, you know. So seeing that sisterhood, it would have been nice to see the two brothers as well have that bonding time together. But, yeah. No, can't be easy, remember?
That's right.
Nothing's easy. And speaking of nothing being easy, Emma has to break the news to her dad that Hook is the one who killed his father, her grandfather.
Man.
This story, it still really, really, really hurts my heart that it turned out to be Hook, one, because I love him so much, and two, that he didn't get a chance to stick around to tell David himself. And even David's like, what, he wouldn't even tell me himself. He's too good to come over here or something. And that just hurts me because their bond is so great that, you know, for Gideon to just make Hook disappear like that. No, not cool.
I feel personally victimized by Gideon. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I can totally
down, mean girl.
Understand what you're saying. Yeah, I thought it was frustrating because every time Hook goes through these situations where he's pinned as being the bad guy, he always somehow gets shipped off somewhere else every time. And, like, it's always this struggle of Hook looking like the bad guy when everybody that was in the Enchanted Forest, they had their backstory. You know, clearly Regina killed a bunch of people, but they're able to forgive her, and she always has time to, like, make it up. So it is frustrating that Hook didn't get the chance to really say I'm sorry. But I'm glad that we got him to talk to Emma at the end of the episode. That was exciting.
That's true.
With the shell phone.
It's really unfortunate.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's really unfortunate that Emma immediately just goes to abandonment.
Yeah.
You know, it's like she doesn't give Hook enough credit, I think.
I thought of that too, but in her defense, Leroy did see him get on the ship. So when you have someone who only saw part of a thing, you know, it's like, oh, yeah, well, we saw him go on there, like, willingly, and then the ship took off.
Yeah.
They don't know that anything bad happened inside there. So as mad as I wanted to be at Emma, too, like, have a little faith in him. Have faith because, you know, he did used to be a villain, and now he is on the hero side. So I want people to have faith in him. But when all the evidence is stacked against you like that, it's hard to find the reason to believe.
Yeah. But I guess at the same time, too, it's like, it's that moment of he's done so many things, but he's fought in every time. So I kind of understand, like, I feel like she shouldn't have gone straight to abandonment because they have gone through so many situations that have led them to the relationship they're in.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of that whole, okay, is she going to completely write him off or is she going to give him a chance? Which we see that she gave him a chance. So I was excited about that.
Yeah. I was too.
I was excited because it sort of reminded me the parallels between Gallivant and here at this moment, because Gallivant had those issues with Isabella and the amulet call. And in this case, it wasn't an amulet. It was the shell, right?
Yes.
I think one of the fans mentioned it too. They're like, hang on. There's this, you know, it's sort of like Skyping into different realms.
Yeah.
Right?
So yeah.
I was very happy that, you know, too, that Emma was able to get that reassurance of just hearing from Hook's voice, too, that, you know, that it wasn't his fault, so.
Definitely. Yeah. Instead of Skyping us today, you could have just used your shell phone.
Like what Shakespeare said, what's that quote? The course of true love never runneth smooth or something. What is it? I'm not saying it's eloquent as he wrote it.
It's like, we're American, so we probably don't quote Shakespeare. You know, us Americans don't just have that knowledge.
Never did run it smooth or something.
Something like that. I've heard something like
that.
Yeah,
this is why Karen's smarter than all of us. She can quote Shakespeare.
My teachers would be like slapping my hand saying, you should know that quote.
And then the other thing that happened tonight was we got to go to the new happy hour spot in Storybrooke.
Oh my goodness, this is hysterical.
Aesop's Bar, which as soon as I saw the flyer, I was like, why is no one concerned that a new bar just conveniently opened up right when, like, Gideon has come to town and everyone's trying to kill Emma? No one's like, hey, we don't know this Aesop.
I know. And he's serving you alcoholic beverages.
Yeah.
Like, you're all, like, all the powerful people are intoxicated. David's at home sleeping. Like, this is not going to end well. I thought Gideon was going to come.
How funny was Snow?
Oh, my goodness. She was great. Because Mama needs a night out to relax and kick back a few. And that's exactly what she did. And she was kicking those Vikings butts in every sport in that bar.
Yeah. I feel like this moment actually made me think, if they were ever put back into the Enchanted Forest for good, I'm wondering how that shift would be, because I'm kind of enjoying them in this real-time, like, present-day vibe that you kind of wonder, how would they be? Because they've kind of all adjusted to it wholeheartedly. And I thought it was funny to kind of see that mixture between them being in, like, the present-day mixed with the realm, and kind of Snow, her drunk side, was kind of going back to her forest fighting days. So that was great.
I loved it.
That was a lot of fun. And then, you know, of course, leave it to the bartender to get Emma to finally open up about her feelings. The mixologist. My apologies, sir. It's like, I'm a mixologist. But, you know, it's always, like, that person who really gets you to break down. And she wipes those tears away, which the tears of a hero turn out to be very important to Gideon, who was actually the mixologist at the bar. Dun, dun, dun.
Of course it was.
I actually thought that she was starting to fall for him for a second. I'm like, wait a second. This can't happen. You still love Hook. Let's be real.
I thought she was just going to, like, have that one night, like, fling yourself at the bartender thing. And I was like, don't do it.
It's ABC, guys. It's ABC. Of course, my thought was, who's this black guy in Storybrooke? Like, I don't remember him.
He's a very handsome guy, so, you know, you couldn't blame her if she wanted, you know, for two.
Exactly. Yeah. But no, it's just Gideon, and
he reminded me of Gus Gus a little
bit. Oh, Gus Gus. Gus Gus. But Gideon now has a new ploy for Emma. Instead of trying to take her magic, he now wants her to help him destroy the Black Fairy, and in return earn his gratitude to then get Hook to come back.
No.
It's like, so her just helping you isn't enough to get her boyfriend back? No? She's still got to earn your gratitude? Also, Gideon, I've been saying this for weeks. Why was it always like you have to fight Emma? Why couldn't you have just come to everyone in a nice manner, be a nice boy, and come up to everyone and be like, hey, Mom and Dad, and their friends, I was raised by an evil woman, and I want to destroy her world and her. Can you guys help me with that? I need a hero.
Yeah.
I need a hero.
Yeah.
And, like, come and just, you know, nicely ask these people to help you, and they would.
Right. Yeah.
Gideon, you don't have to be so evil, dude. No.
But he wasn't raised in a good light.
I know.
You know, if he was raised by the Black Fairy, so, yeah, he's going to be twisted in the ways he approaches things.
Okay, Marissa, you're always here to keep me level-headed.
No.
But I just want, like, I just want him to do the right thing.
But that's what I was thinking. Like, my heart just breaks for Belle and Rumple, you know, because this is their only child together. This is Rumple's second chance at having a son, and it all kind of goes pear-shaped because of his mum.
Yeah. See, I said this on the panel last week. I think Rumple actually needs a daughter because he's not having a good run with sons. So the third kid needs to be a girl, and maybe things will go better. I don't know.
You better talk to Belle about that.
Yeah, I don't know. We're,
she's pretty mad right now, so I'm not sure about that.
Speaking of Belle, have you seen the new Beauty and the Beast movie?
I haven't.
Oh my gosh.
I am dying to go see it. It's one of my favorite Disney movies, and I'm dying to go.
You should. I just went today, and it was incredible.
I saw it three times already. It's great.
Oh my gosh.
I need to go see it.
I'm behind.
Karen, I am too. Don't worry.
I've been meaning to. It's one of those things. It's like on my to-do list, actually. Like, go see Beauty.
It's like everything I would have ever imagined and more. Like, I loved it.
It's great.
I can't wait.
Yeah.
It's great.
Okay. You too.
I'll go with you.
Okay, thank you. So I think that covers this episode. I want to talk to Karen a little bit because I want to get all your juicy secrets. Like, my first question for you about the show is, are you singing in the musical episode?
Yes.
Are you allowed to tell us if you're singing in the musical episode?
Well, I can say this, so I'm not. I'm not in the episode.
Missed opportunity.
What?
You know what? I think one thing I do love about the show is they have to be very integral to all the storylines. And there's so much happening right now. As you guys know, with everyone's storyline right now. And as we're coming to the end of the season too, you know, they've got to fast forward a lot with everyone's storylines to get to sort of some resolve towards the end. So, you know, whether it's a happy ending or not such a great happy ending in true Once Upon a Time flavor. So, I totally, you know, I would have loved to have been a part of it, but I do know that it's looking pretty amazing, and you guys are not going to be disappointed, because this is such a multi-talented cast. It was just so wonderful to see snippets and see everyone singing and dancing. It reminded me very much of Galavant, and knowing how much fun I had filming Galavant, is I just know that this is, you know, these guys had so much fun, and I'm just so excited to see it. I'm excited for you guys to see it. I don't think you guys are going to be disappointed. It's going to be a great app.
That's awesome. I'm excited, but I really wish you were in it singing, because you have such an amazing voice, and it would have been great.
Well, bless you, but next time, you know, maybe if depending where the storylines go, if they want to do another musical episode, then that would be great. I'd so be there.
Yes, definitely.
So last night was your cast rap party you were telling us about. Was there karaoke at the rap party?
No, there was no karaoke.
See, I'm just trying to get her, like, singing. I need video of Karen singing somewhere.
I don't know. So if you guys, I was at the Creation Vancouver convention last Friday, Saturday. And they had a karaoke party, and it was so much fun. Michael Coleman, a.k.a. Happy, was hosting it. Aaron Dale, Grumpy, was there. And Beverly, Granny, and Keegan, who plays Blue Fairy. And gosh, there was... and Hook's dad, played by Adam Crosdale. It was so wonderful, because I don't know if you saw online, a bunch of fans, we were backstage, and we're trying to decide what songs we want to sing. So I said, let's you know, choose songs that we can get everyone to get involved with and have fun and sing along. So I said, what about I've Had the Time of My Life from Dirty Dancing? And so Raphael and Adam were like, yeah, let's do it. And I said, okay, well, we got to do the Dirty Dancing moves, like the, you know, that famous lift.
I saw this.
I was just joking. And Adam's like, really? I'm like, it's like, yeah. So we get on stage, and in the movie, when she first runs up to him to do the lift, she chickens out, and then she does some sort of like cheesy dance move. So I did that, and everyone was laughing. They're like, no, you got to do the lift. And Adam said to me, do that. I'm like, really? I was just joking. He's like, lift. I'm in heels and a very short skirt, and I could have a serious wardrobe malfunction. I don't know if that's there. And he's like, just do it. So I ran to the opposite end. I gave Michael the mic, and I rolled up my sleeves in my heels in my like this short leather skirt, and I ran, and Adam lifted me up, and I laughed so hard because I couldn't believe he was actually like, there I was. That was like that far off from like exposing my brown butt to everyone. Thank the Lord. That wouldn't have been very princess-like.
You know what? It wouldn't. Oh, that's for Aladdin's eyes
only. I actually saw this video, and it was epic, Karen. It was epic. Everyone needs to see this.
Oh, I'm going home to find this video immediately.
I saw this. It was great.
My cheeks hurt from laughing at that story, so I can't wait to just watch it.
Normally, one would need, you know, at least a glass of wine before you go and do something like that, but I didn't have any, and that's what made it even more frightening. And Adam was so wonderful and so sweet. He's such a trooper. Yeah, he held me up there as I was laughing so hard, going, but it was fun. And then I did a duet with Gil, who plays Prince Eric. I didn't have an Aladdin there with me, so he sang A Whole New World with me, which was so wonderful. And so the videos have gone up again on social media and stuff too. So it's all there, my brown butt and me singing with with Prince Eric.
Well, at least while he was holding you up like you were Simba in The Lion King, you didn't have a Janet Jackson moment, you know what I'm saying?
Oh my gosh. Like, we were all in the makeup trailer, Bex and all that, we were all watching it, and Bex is just like, okay, inch it up, and I was like, no, not going up. Bex, please, me. But it was a close call. I'm very grateful.
That's funny. Amazing.
And tell us about your Occupation Princess project that I've seen all over your Twitter and stuff, and we're gonna get some t-shirts, we decided too. Yes.
Thank you. I love you guys. I think it's more, so I wanted to do some fundraising for a cause very close to my heart, Alzheimer's. My husband's grandmother passed away from Alzheimer's. And, you know, when you see, there's too many people in my life who have family members who have suffered from Alzheimer's. And it's such a horrible thing to watch, you know, your loved ones, to slowly see them just being taken away from you. And I wanted to do something, and Creation Stands, dream team that they are, approached me and said, well, why don't we do this, you know, Occupation Princess campaign. And especially having played back-to-back princesses with Isabella and Jasmine, and I wanted to find a way that would be, you know, something that would be fun for girls and even guys. I mean, you saw Colin and Michael and a bunch of them wearing the Occupation Princess shirts, which makes me love them even more. About celebrating, you know, women of all ages and female empowerment. And, you know, we all can tap into our inner prince or inner princess. And so we had these t-shirts made. And so you can see it here.
Yes, I love it.
And so the top bit is sort of like Jasmine, and it's a combination of Jasmine and Isabella didn't really wear a tiara, so it was kind of tapping into the blue of Jasmine's costume and the tiara bit that kind of represents the princesses. So we've got it in the crew neck, the V-neck, and the hoodie. And I think today is 7 days left, 7 or 8 days left of the campaign. It's limited edition, and it's all in for going to support Alzheimer's. So it would mean the world to me. Thanks for talking about it too. So I'll be posting links. It's online on my Instagram and Twitter and all that, and Facebook. So people can just click on the link and place their order.
That's awesome.
So we got it.
And I've seen like the whole cast has been posting pictures in them too. So definitely. I mean, you're definitely getting the word out there.
Oh no, it's great. I mean, they're so, that's one thing I love about this cast too. They're so incredibly supportive with each other's fundraisers and whatnot. I mean, when Lana was doing her, the Evil Regal t-shirt, Long Live the Queen, she did a cool shirt for Planned Parenthood and for some other causes. And no, we were all tweeting. And again, they've done the same thing for me. And I was really tickled because Ginny and Colin, we had finished filming one night. They came into my trailer and they were like, yeah, let's do it. And I didn't think Colin would actually wear one. He's like, come on. He said, you know, give me a t-shirt. And I'm like, really? And so he put it on. And I said, Colin, you certainly know how to rock an Occupation Princess t-shirt. Superstar. And Ginny too. And yeah, the whole gang. So there's more pictures and more cast members wearing it. So I'm really excited. I just love these guys. That's the one thing, you know, for me, coming onto the show, especially in season 6, where everyone is already bonded together, they know each other, it's a bit daunting, you know, because you're like the new kid on the block, the new kid at school, and you don't know if you're going to fit in or whatnot. But this whole cast and crew are just so lovely and so welcoming. And you know, it's, you miss them. You form these attachments and you end up, you know, we all keep in touch, and which is great. And but you do miss them.
Mm-hmm. Aww. So,
yeah, well, I know. Don't tell Colin that.
Your secret's safe with us.
Yeah. Your secret's safe with us and all of our viewers.
Yeah. It's not posted on the internet anywhere. Don't worry about it.
No one heard this.
I mean, that's what friends have to do. Yes, friends, you got to bug each other, you know? You got to tease each other, bug each other, keep it real.
That's right.
So. Exactly. Well, Karen, thank you so much for joining us tonight. We love having you on this show. You're always amazing. Such a delight. And we are all rooting for a season 7. I know that we're still waiting for an official announcement and all that. But, like, I mean, I hope that it comes back for season 7. And I hope that we see more of Jasmine and Aladdin.
I love you guys. Thank you. You guys always make it so much fun. And I miss you guys, too. I wish I was there. See, I do have a magic carpet, and I tried to start it up, but there's like troubles, like engine troubles, you know, kind of thing.
And you know, the LA traffic in the sky is just crazy. Just, so.
Vancouver, the winds, the high tail wind speeds, whatever you call it, it just wasn't in my favor. So the palace just wouldn't let me.
Yeah.
Like, we understand.
We'll get you next time.
Next time.
Okay. I promise. And I'll make it worth your while with some of those Agrabah rings.
Yes. That's what I'm talking about.
And the bling.
Well, thank you so much. And enjoy the rest of your night and the rest of your shooting for the season finale. And, I mean, we're going to see you on our screens again very soon.
Yes.
Yes. Episodes. The last two episodes.
Okay. Awesome. More Princess Jasmine then.
I know, brace yourselves, because a lot's coming. One big adventure, and I'm really excited for you guys to see what's coming. And the musical episode is going to be amazing. It's pretty special.
Awesome.
I can't wait.
Well, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Have a great night. Good night.
Bye.
Bye. She's awesome, guys.
I just love her so much.
She's okay.
Amazing.
So we've got a little bit of time left, and we're going to quickly do our Once Upon a Weave. Oh, I should have left her on for this part. But Once Upon a Weave this week, I think it was a unanimous decision, and we even got some Twitter comments about it. But it goes to Princess Jasmine tonight.
Yes.
Because her hair was on point in the flashbacks and in the modern day. It was just everything,
girl.
She was rocking it like nothing else. I don't know what I was going to say. And then I have to give a shout out to on Instagram, Storybrooke Vamps, because yesterday was April Fool's Day, and boy did Storybrooke Vamps get me good. I'm on Instagram story and I'm looking, and like theirs comes up, and it's like, breaking news, Once Upon a Time writers just confirmed to E! News that Once Upon a Time will end after season 6. And I'm like, what? Oh my gosh. And I know that WonderCon is yesterday, so I'm like, maybe they had a panel I didn't know about.
What?
So I'm freaking out. I'm Googling on my phone, like, trying to find this information anywhere. It's like, where is it? So I write them back. I'm like, where'd you hear this? What's going on? I can't find it on the internet. And then I get a thing back going, April Fools.
That's so mean. That's terrible.
No, I thought it was hilarious. Okay.
Really?
No. And they wrote me back and they were like, I feel so bad now. Like, I didn't, like, I feel
as
like a terrible person because, you know, this. And I was like, don't feel bad. Like, that's a great April Fools joke.
Incredible.
It's just
no,
that terrible. Because there's been so much talk about will there be or will there not be.
Yeah.
You got me so good. That's the only April Fool's Day prank I fell for yesterday.
That's incredible.
I avoided social media. I was like, no, I don't believe anything that's happening right now.
And like when I read it, it just like, it didn't even cross my mind that it was April 1st anymore. Because I'm like, oh my gosh, I have to find this information.
Exactly.
We have to talk about it on the show tomorrow.
I know.
So yeah, you get a shout out.
It's not true.
In case you guys didn't get it, it's not true.
Good.
And so let's quickly all give our predictions for next week's episode.
I hate this portion because you're so mean to me,
Dakota. I'm not mean to you. I just call you out when you literally say what you see in the preview.
They said you and I were mean to him last week.
Well, so. I mean, not during predictions, just during the whole show.
Thank you guys out there for sticking up for me.
But it's okay. You guys don't know what Dakota does when we're not on camera. Like, he just stares at me making weird faces while I'm trying to watch the show.
Not true.
I'm going to take pictures of him starting now. Okay, Dakota, now you have to start with predictions.
Okay, so my prediction is that Karen is not going to be in the musical episode.
See, this is why you make fun of your predictions.
That's not a prediction.
No, I think that, no, I'm not going to say it because it's literally what was in the preview. So let's move
I think
on.
We're going to go to Neverland and we're going to see Blackbeard and Isaac the Writer is going to come back too.
That's what Dakota was going to say because that's
all we saw in the preview.
That's in the preview.
I have a feeling that Emma is going to get looped in to help find the Black Fairy and destroy her. So...
happened in the episode.
Okay, someone else go now.
I think that Aladdin and Jasmine, obviously we kind of know they're going to come back, but it's not going to be in a good light. There's going to be something terrible happening in Agrabah, because usually when things end happy, it doesn't actually mean so.
I know.
So I don't mean to be negative, but I kind of think something bad is coming our way, but I'm not exactly sure what.
Mm-hmm.
In their love story.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. Marissa. Gideon has to die in some form. I don't know who's going to. I want to say Gideon's actually going to die at the hand of his father. It's going to get dark.
Oh my god!
It's going to get
dark. That's a mic drop right there.
She did it for me.
The pin drop for Marissa.
I think it's going to get dark.
All right.
Oh, yeah. Man.
I don't know how you follow up that prediction right there. So I'm not. And I'm just going to say thank you guys for watching. Thank you, Karen David, for Skyping in with us. It means the world to us that you are a friend of this show. And tell the good people where they can find you guys.
You can find me on Twitter at Allie Nasta and on Instagram at Allie Girl.
And you guys can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube at Mr. Dakota T. Jones and my new show on Popcorn Talk, Millennial Hollywood.
And you can follow me on Twitter at SerafiniTV.
And you can find me at the Tion Hops. And make sure you guys check out all the shows we do here at AfterBuzz TV every week, free of charge to you. Make sure you guys head on over to iTunes and rate us. Give us 5 stars. Leave us a little comment there, a little love. If you're on YouTube, make sure you click that thumbs up. And also comment below, because we love hearing you guys' thoughts and predictions on this show that we all love so, so much. So thank you so much for watching and tuning in. And we will see you guys next week.
Bye.
See ya.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Bye. See you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.